Okay, so the topic of the shir, as I said, is a real interesting one. What I've been trying to do myself is I've been trying to challenge myself with shiurim that are very, very practical, things I haven't given before. And this one I actually been developing all week because of a number of incidents that have happened over the last few weeks during Corona. So incident number one, which is close to my heart as well. As I mentioned in the last year, I made a decision on Thursday not to go to Camp Masorah. My wife is the head lifeguard of the girls' campus. We actually don't know where the campus. They don't know much yet. But I've been following this a lot, what's going on. And as you know, a good Yisrael, their camps are in the process of suing the governor of the state. And Tuesday there'll be a hearing on that. And one of the things that they tried to do with the certainly advice of lawyers was that maybe they would make, for example, Camp Sternberg was coming out with this. Camp Sternberg is part of this conglomerate of a bunch of camps called the Shema camps. And they were going to open the camp. They were going to call it a bungalow, really, because there's no weekends. And a lawyer advised them, or a team of lawyers, that if you don't have weekends, it's not really called that. And since then, a letter came out from, I forgot who, the commissioner of something, that they know about this and they're going to catch you. And before that letter came out, actually, the head of the Shema camps said, no, we're not doing it. And following the advice of our Rabbanim, what they call Das Torah, we think it's going to cause a Chilul Hashem. And I was very touched by that. And I said, wow, that's business 101. Chilul Hashem is a huge part of that. And then something else came out, which I'm involved in as in my catering company. So catering is not doing very well now. There's no real weddings and bar mitzvahs, and if they are, they're for a very small amount of people. So we were zeicha to get the account for Bergen County as well as the Teaneck Bergen Field, the two separate things, in providing meals. The federal government passed an interesting law that during Corona they want to make sure kids eat. And it is not a needs-based eating. So usually you get free school lunch if you're needs-based. So for example, in the Bergen Field school system, there's a tier depending on how much money you get, you make, and you could be entitled to a very small amount of money you have to pay. Here in Israel, actually, we have something that's similar. It's not really as much needs-based, but because we are a socialist country, we have the zechus of our kids getting these lunches that are borderline edible. The question in our case really is, somebody put out a letter to the editor of a newspaper and said, this is the worst Chilul Hashem ever. What are we taking these meals when we know clearly we don't need these meals? And, it's a Chilul Hashem because, it's going to get back to people. And, I was involved actually in, trying to stop the letter being published. And the reason was, is that, I think that he's totally off base. I don't think there's a Chilul Hashem here. And I see the difference between the two cases that I just gave, and I have a lot of other examples that we'll share. But this is a federal mandated program. And even if you have a gorgeous house and you live on Winthrop and Teaneck, and you drive a Lexus or you drive an Infiniti or drive a whatever, you're allowed to get this. Now, if you don't want to wait online, you don't have to. But it's definitely something that a person is entitled to. And I don't think there's a Lefnim Meshuras Hadin in this case. Kiddush Hashem is really the paramount of every Jew in being Mekadosh God's name. But I don't think that in every case we have to be super machmir. And that's what I want to kind of touch on. Where do we stop? Where does the buck stop to say, well, wait a minute, this is not the way that we should act. And again, you have a difficulty because at least New York, the way I see New York City specific, but certainly New York State as well, but New York City specifically, there seems to be a double standard, right? As long as you say that you're going out and protesting, so then everything's allowed. But if you're, God forbid, going to a minyan, oh, that's not allowed. Again, and adhering to the rules and regulations, I'm not talking about the obvious Chilul Hashem. I don't have time to discuss that, but things that we see all the time. Bernie Madoff was a firm person. There clearly was a Chilul Hashem there, right? Anybody who steals money gets caught. There's no question about that. And it's not even up for discussion. But, and obviously, I hope as well, the people who were violating davening and minyanim here in Eretz Yisrael, they had to actually put locks, their own locks, the government, on shuls because people were sneaking in there. So that's clearly a Chilul Hashem if you're not listening to the rules and regulations. But What if you are and you're still getting fines and so on and so forth? How far do we have to go? Are we not allowed to protest because we're in yarmulkes? Seemingly we should. So again, once again, I have a source sheet that I want to share to go through this. And it's very difficult to, I think this is a topic that can be discussed literally hours and hours, because Chil Hashem is so important, because our job in this world is to Mekadosh Shem Hashem. And there is an unbelievable website. I was actually looking up when I was researching this, and most of the articles that I find, whether it's Rav Asher Weiss or so many other Gedolim that discuss this, discuss the aspect of Kiddush Hashem, the Rambam's Kiddush Hashem, of, you know, Yarig Val Yavor, of dying al Kiddush Hashem, and do you make a bracha, and do you, and that's great, but living at Kiddush Hashem, my Rebbe Rav Aaron Soloveitchik would often relate this. He said, dying al Kiddush Hashem is definitely a very high level, but living al Kiddush Hashem, now that's not easy. And that's what I really wanted to discuss today. So let us share this source sheet with you guys. Here we go. Okay. So as I was saying, there's an amazing website that focuses on this amazing topic. I just want to get the website correct. The website is called Kiddush Hashem. It's called Kiddush Hashem. Yeah, livingkiddushhashem.com. It has a booklet of four booklets, which would take you hours to read. Amazing booklets that were developed as a curriculum in schools. I'm taking a lot of the stuff from there, and it really goes through everything. I don't have time, obviously, to do every single one, but it is absolutely fascinating. And if you have time to look at it, it's really remarkable the way that they do it. We have great stories, which I don't have time for today, great Gedolim stories and great caveats from different Gedolim about the importance of it. So definitely something worth, if you have the time, to look at it. Okay, but let's do our topic. So first, the Zohar. Get a Zohar here. Why not? You know, you get lucky, you get a Zohar with me. The Zohar explains that the word chil, when we talk about a chil Hashem, comes from the word chalal. Chalal is a void, empty space. Those that live in Eretz Yisrael, or we might have heard of this term. So a chalal is that when you come into a house in Israel, a lot of our laws are based on Ottoman laws from the British Empire from before. So for some reason, there's only a certain amount of space that each house has. And what happens generally is that they build these rooms that are like secret rooms, and they put a wall in front of it, but a wall made out of sheetrock. And when you come in, it's called halal space, and you break down the wall, and then you get to build, but nobody's supposed to know about it. It's not avoiding taxes, which we'll get to that inyan, but that's just the thing in Israel. So a halal is a void, that when a person acts as if he exists in a void, right? He's in a vacuum, so nobody's watching him. Hashem's not aware of what he's doing, so he creates a chil Hashem. That's what chil means, right? The Zohar says that a chil Hashem is just about me. God's not here right now because the lights are off. Right, the difference between a Goslin and a Ganav. Stealing at night is worse because you think that it's only the people that are not seeing you. You're creating a Chil Hashem. In other words, you create a state where there is less awareness of Hashem in the world. Kiddush Hashem, by definition, is, as it sounds, bringing God's presence into this world, being the Kaddish Hashem. By the way, the void that many speak about is without a Beis HaMikdash. When the Beis HaMikdash was around, everybody knew God's presence in this world. And everybody knew that the Jews were part of that presence and being the chosen people and having the space of English. And without that, we have to bring God's name. That is, by the way, the chief Yiskadal Vizkadash Meirabah. Kaddish brings God's presence into this world, recognizing that he controls everything. And the Rebbeinu Bechaya says something similar here in source number two. That Chil Hashem also comes from the word chol, mundane. When one's actions or words create a sense of God does not exist, the behavior is called, which should be holy, is mundane, right? I just treat everything as it's okay. I have to get ahead in the world so I can cheat on my taxes or whatever it might be. That's where people are losing it. The Urcha Tzadikim, Shahar Emma says, Hirachli Godo ben Vaseinu Abarabim. There's some bad things that are happening in our days. Yosem Yidai Yesh Li Yisrael Lahavdil Mehevle Ha'olam. We have to set us aside that we're away from what's going on in society. Ugla Achsov, and that we have to go Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu Emes. Chotmo Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu Emes. God's signature ring is Emes. Ule Kadesh Atzmam. And we have to bring out to this world that that is what the world is about. Emes. Af ben Mutar Lahem. Velo L'Shaker. You can't lie. Lo L'Yisrael. Velo L'Goy. Velo L'Tosim B'Shum Inya. For any reason. We have to be a nation that we are known that they don't lie. They tell the truth. And this is what the Be'er HaGolah also writes here in source number four, that he has seen many people, this is an amazing line, and their entire fortunes, he says, have been made through cheating non-Jews. However, the money does not produce any bracha, doesn't last. And he writes that he's seen this. Mamish, he knows stories of like this, that people who made the Kiddush Hashem return the money, even though halachically maybe you don't have to. They received, by mistake from a non-Jew, this money. They received tremendous bracha. And that bracha was passed to their children. There is a concept which we'll discuss called Ta'os Akum, where technically that if a goy makes a mistake, you go into your local supermarket, and she gives you back too much change, and you're 100% aware that the supermarket is owned by non-Jews, and this is a non-Jewish thing. Right? It seems to be the way of the world that you don't have to return the money back. But the halacha says that if you can provide a Kiddush Hashem now, you're wearing the yarmulke, and you could shit, and then say, oh my God, I can't believe nobody would return the money. Right? And I, Baruch Hashem, I've had in my life a number of these stories where I dafka returned it, and mostly always they ask me, why are you doing this? And you show your yarmulke, whatever it might be. I always remember my story where I just, my daughter found some pictures, our old pictures of my wife's birthday last week. So we're getting out old pictures, decorating the house. And we saw some of our old trips that we went on. So one trip we went on right before we had our first child. So it was a little late for us to go on a plane anymore because my wife was 9 months pregnant. So we went to locally. So we went in a place called Mount Airy Lodge in the Poconos. And we got our own little villa with a pool and a fireplace, whatever. So me being a Jew, I said, I gotta, you know, get everything in here. One of the things was a fireplace. I need to start the fire. I mean, come on. So we went to the local gift shop in the hotel, and I bought a log, but like I called the Jew log, because the Jew log is you buy this log, but it's doused already with oil. So when you light it, it lights right away. It's like awesome. So I bought this log, and the lady gives me, actually, I remember it was raining pretty hard in the house, in the where we were. And you have to drive now to where your little cabin is, if you will. And I get there, and I'm ready to turn up. I'm so excited, you know. And I start to undo my pockets, and I look at the money she gave me back, and I says, oh, my God. I gave her a 20. She thought I gave her a 50. And I got way too much change. And my first reaction was, shkoyach, you know, I just made some money. And I said, oh, you know, this isn't right. And I tell my wife, I said, you know, look, I'm going to go back and give her the money. My wife says, well, yeah, I don't know how luckily you have to go back right now. First of all, tosak, we probably don't have to go back bechlal. The lady probably won't even be there tomorrow. I said, no, I want to go back now. So I get in the car and I go all the way back there. And as I'm walking back there, I see the following signs. Amazing. I see that the woman has all the money laid out and she has like a boss. You can see this woman is watching over her and she doesn't have enough money. So they know exactly how much money they made that day, and she's short, whatever it was, my $30. And I walk in like the Malach Hashem, you know, I walk in, and everybody's looking at me, and she looks at me, and I'm like, I think you gave me back too much change. And her first reaction to me was, can I ask you a question? Why did you come back? She says, you know, as a sales clerk, I would have to pay this from my pocket. That's what the rule is. And at that moment, I realized I was wearing a baseball hat. I'm like, shoot, you know, Kiddush Hashem, you know? And I said, I'm Jewish. I said, in our religion, we don't believe that this money will ever, you know, come to good. That's what the Be'er HaGolah is saying. No good will come from this money. What's the point? That's the idea. Just one more story. This happened 2 years ago. I was in Target, and I love these self-checkout things. My favorite things. I feel like I'm doing something for my, you know. So I go do the self-checkout thing, and as I put my credit card in, I notice in the change thing, it's not a joke, there is four $20 bills. That where somebody had left. I don't know what they came. I don't know what happened exactly. $80. And my first reaction was I took the $80 and I looked around. I thought for sure there was cameras there. You know, they're going to catch the Jew. Like, what are you going to do? You know? So I start walking out, you know, and I'm looking for somebody and I see there's a clerk there and I say, excuse me, you're not going to believe this. This $80 just came out of here. Maybe somebody, you know, can you please make sure, whatever. And I gave him the money and the guy looks at me like, yeah, okay. And he puts it in his pocket. I was like, uh-oh. So I don't know. I felt good going into the car. Like the Be'er HaGolah says, nothing's going to happen with this. $80 is never going to do me good. Whether or not he pocketed the money, it's not really important. But these are all ways to be Mekadosh Shem Hashem, going lifnai lifnim redim, no matter what the halacha technically is. And that's what I want to try to get out in this year, is that we'll see that it's not only what the black and white halacha is. There's going over and above that. The Gemara in Yuma tells our before yeah, I'll get to the Gemara and Yuma, and then we'll do the Rambam. The Gemara and Yuma says that there are certain things that Yom Kippur's Machaper. This Daf and Peivav talks about that Yom Kippur's Machaper, Kibi Yom Azeh Yichaper Aleichem, but there are certain things that are not Machaper. Aval Mishi Yesh Lo Chil Hashem Biyado, Ein Lo Koch B'Tshuva. He's got no chance for Tshuva if he's Machal Shem Hashem. It's terrible. Until the Yom Misa, it says. Right? Those who cause the desecration of God's name, his repentance has no power to suspend punishment. Right? Because Yom Kippur is this like wacko time where we could do like everything bad, and we daven to Hashem, and we fast, and we denuyim, and then all of a sudden this magic happens. So why is it that it suspend, right? It doesn't suspend the punishment? Because it shows that we don't believe in something. Something's wrong here. And the Gemara continues. It's a hachi dami, chil Hashem amar, rav, kigon, right? So he gives an example. Someone like me, since I'm an important public figure, if I don't pay at all, or I'm mispaying, a little mistake I made, and I cause a chil Hashem because I got the long beard, and they don't just say, oh, the rabbi probably just walked. I don't know if this ever happened to you. It's happened to me more than once, especially here in Israel. In Israel, it's very common that they don't even let you pay. I just went, Friday, went out for falafel. So I said, oh, let me pay now. And she's like, no, when you're done. It's like a weird thing. Therefore, I can negotiate afterwards. And, the falafel wasn't so good, so I want to give you luck. It's the weirdest thing. And I always have the luck. And then I go afterwards, and now they have the long line at the door. And I'm like, no way, I just want to pay, but whatever. But says Rav, I'm afraid that, right, I'm so scared that I'm going to cause a chil Hashem. But he didn't do anything wrong. By mistake, he walked out. He forgot to pay. You got to turn around right away. It's because you have a long beard. Remember a story of the Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. He told me once that, unfortunately, he had a cab driver who took him on this long ride. He was a real chil Hashem, a real anti-Semite. And he got mad, and he said, I was so mad at the guy, I only gave him a $10 tip. I said, Rebbe, $10 tip? Give him nothing. He says, you don't understand. He says, you don't look like me. I got a hat and a beard. It's going to be a chil Hashem. That's what the story is over here, right? A person who doesn't pay on time or, right, somebody's going to come and collect it, but I want to pay before. And the Rama writes this in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalad, Afal Pi, Shea Tshuva Mechapers HaKol, Ve'etzim Mishal Yom Mechaper, the day itself is Mechaper. There are certain Averus that it's not Mechaper. And the Rama goes on at length, but says, and he says, what? B'shalo Chalos Shem Hashem, B'sha Shavah. L'Oilam is Kapara, but when it comes to Chal Hashem, it's something that I can't be machaper for. Ava machalos Hashem, afal pisha asa tshu ve'igia yom kippur ve'yomis betshuvaso ubal of yisurim. It's hard to do kapara for that. Until when? Ad yom emaisa. It's startling, mamish line. But that's the truth. That's what we have to be careful with. The person has to be exceedingly careful with this idea. The Rambam says this in Hilchos Deos about the being Mekadosh Shem Hashem and how we have to do that. Yes, there's Yogi Yavor, but there's even a higher level. Rav Miller writes in his Sefer, Rav Victor Miller, that in our generation, this is what we have to bring out, being a light into the nations. Some examples of this, for example. So the Shulchan Aruch and Shimon Ches and Chesh Mishpat says the following, that Kol HaGoynev Afilu Sheva Pruta Over Alav, right? If you steal anything more than a Sheva Pruta, you're over an Alav. Right, to low ticket over the chayv l'shalom nisa deraisa, and then maybe this is obvious to everyone, but it says echad hagodiv mamun yisrael, you steal from Jews, oh godiv mamun shalaka, doesn't matter who it is, you can't do it. Hagazal nachri chayv l'achzil nachri, says the Tosefta, if you steal from a guy, not only do you have to wrong the right by returning it. Why chamer gezel nachri megez yisrael? Here's the line, the Sefer says, amazingly. The Sefer Bava Kama says that it's so bad stealing from a Nachri, it's worse than stealing from a Jew. You know why? Mepnei Chil Hashem. Hagoz HaNachri V'nishpoloi V'meis V'einu Mechaper Lo Mepnei Chil Hashem. He dies and you lie to him. You swear. No kapara. And the Smag writes this in Lavim Bet. He says, "Kasu v'chol hameshaker l'goyim." Anybody who lies to a guy, to a non-Jew, we're going to mehem. Hein b'chal mechal Hashem. That's the worst chal Hashem. Again, because developing this idea that we are muvdal, we're different from the other nations. We have to look differently, and we have to have people look at us and say, "Wow." Use the term a lot, or l'goyim, right? A lot of people like to use that line, but Where does it come from? Latakein olam. We should do tikkun olam, right? It's a very famous reform term, tikkun olam. But you know what the real line is? It's from Aleinu. Latakein olam b'malchut shakai. In God's presence with his malchus. But we have to look the part. You can't dress a certain way and do that. I've had this conversation hundreds of times. My kids know this, and it's very upsetting to them. But I will often say something to someone who's dressed very religiously, and I'll say to them, you know, you can't do that. Say, what do you mean I can't do that? I say, because look how you look. Look how bad it looks. It's the ultimate Chil Hashem. When you dress a certain way, you call yourself a Charad Hashem. You're wearing a yarmulke, Yoyrim Malka. You're not Yoyrim Malka. What are you doing? I got to tell the story. My daughter hates the story. My daughter was there when this happened. You're not going to like the story. In Israel, there's a very interesting minhag. I actually experienced this minhag today. It was the person in the back of me. I don't allow this minhag. There's a minhag that says the following thing. You know, there's a lot of, I don't know why, in supermarkets, there are lines all the time. So the person, this is what he does. He comes in with his supermarket cart. He fills it up with a few items, and then he waits online. Well, he doesn't wait online, but the cart's online. And then he goes to the whole store and puts everything in. He says, oh, I'm next. Okay. So back in the day here in Ramat Shiloh, there wasn't a lot going on here. There's two supermarkets and the lines are like, you know, and everybody's going Thursday night. Apparently everybody's celebrating Shabbos also. And the lines are crazy and I'm waiting. And all of a sudden this guy comes and this cart that was on the side, he tells me his cart is here. I says, I've been waiting online for 25 minutes. You weren't here. I said, Zelo ved kacha. It doesn't work this way. The guy gets mad at me. He says, Beseda. I'll let you cut me. I said, what do you mean you're going to let me cut you? What are you talking about? I said, you weren't online. I said, don't you know that everybody would like to do this? Everybody would love to do what you're doing. I would love to walk in with the cart and go shopping. That's not the derech of the olam. You shouldn't be doing this. And he's like really mad at me. And then my daughter is like livid at me. And then at the corner of my eye, I notice that he has a bump. He has a pin. And the pin says it at the words, Mashiach. Couldn't let it go. And he says, Be'emet, you really want Mashiach? Stop doing this. That's a Chil Hashem. Stop it. Fine. That's my service message for now. Anyway, the Smag says this in a few places about this. So when we're talking about Bava Kamma, we can't stop without telling over. There's a famous Ran in Bava Kamma. The Ran in Bava Kamma, and others comment on this, Rashi seems to say this as well, that maybe you don't have to be so honest all the time. When it comes to, for example, taxes, right? Now, we'll make a distinction between the United States and Israel, right? All countries in Israel. Assuming that the taxes in the country you live in are just taxes, doesn't matter if you're mad that my taxes might go to help same-sex marriages. That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what it is, but you live in a world of dina de malchus adina. The law of the land is a law. Source number 11. Dina malchus adina. For example, Torah Shulchan Aruch Shin Samach Tes. That the laws that we accept, they're not against the Torah, even though they're not necessarily Torah laws. They have a tokif b'dina Yisrael. We have to follow the laws. And for example, nowadays, when we go to Beis Din, in Dini Mamonois, they first take into account what the laws of the land are before they pass in halacha, because it's just laws. Thank God we live in countries that the laws aren't special for certain people. They're hopefully just laws. And even though we have a progressive system of taxes where if you make more money, you pay more money, that seems to be okay with people to do that. The Ran seems to say that, well, passive lying is okay, right? I'm not signing a tax return that says that I don't make this amount of money, or I'm not applying for a government grant that I don't deserve and I'm saying I'm sorry. That's clearly, even to the Ran, would be awesome. But not telling the truth 100%, well, passively I could do that. Very interesting. The Mordechai B'Toykev disagrees. The Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, all the Mefarshim, again, the Achronim seem to disagree with this. But the Mordechai says, Be'ofen Shiesh Kiddush Hashem, Tov L'Hachzir Ta'iz Nachri. We spoke about this before. Right? When I can perform a Kiddush Hashem, and nobody agrees, everybody agrees that if you're going to get caught, if you can potentially get caught in cheating on your taxes, and you're going to create a Chil Hashem, everybody says it would be awesome. There's a famous Rav, I'm not going to mention now, I once got in a lot of trouble with this situation, but he's a famous Rav, I'm not going to even say where he's from New York, who has a shita that you can cheat on taxes, as long as you don't get caught. And I unfortunately asked the question in a public forum, not knowing what I was getting involved in. And I asked it as what I call a softball question. I said to him, what about, babysitters and things we don't normally declare as babysitters? You can cheat on taxes if you don't get caught. The honest truth is that you can get caught. And it's a big problem. And there are plenty of cases out there of specific situations that revolved around Jewish communities, which caused huge chilul Hashems. So according to the Mordechai, first of all, it's hard to believe that you could create a tax situation you won't get caught. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily, and this is an important point, not everybody agrees with what I'm about to say, but it could be that there are certain leniencies which people generally take where your accountant tells you this is generally considered to be okay. That might be a little bit questionable. And then if a person wants to be lefnim mishur hadin, he certainly can, but not necessarily does he have to be. Again, even in the case of the Tos Akum, which we're talking about, even though technically you don't have to return the money, but if returning it will cause a Kiddush Hashem, you should. But what happens in the following case? Another story. I go to the local supermarket, Pathmark, and I'm waiting online, the Sunday line of everybody's getting food Sunday, and the woman gives me back too much change. And right away I know it's a Kiddush Hashem, and I said, excuse me, you gave me back too much change. She actually looks at me and says, oh, here we go. The Jews always think we make mistakes. She actually said that to me. I said, no, I'm trying to give you money back. I said, don't you understand what's going to happen at the end of the day? You have to. She says, oh, here we go. Jews always know better. And I'm like, okay. Then I pocketed the money and I left. Because I was causing, in some way, shape, or form, more of a chilul Hashem by staying there. Of course, I left. But that would be the shita over there. Again, the same thing applies by an aveda, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Yeridah, Reish Samach Vav. That there's a mitzvah to return an aveda if we know it can be a kiddush Hashem. Go ahead, Zeb. Sorry. The manager. Yeah. Again. So. Right. So, good question. Right. The question is, should I've gone more lifnei mishuras hadin? At that moment, I tried to diffuse the situation. I thought that if I went to the manager, again, clear halacha is that if it's a mistake of a non-Jew, and I know that the whole system there is non-Jews, I don't have to report this. However, if it's possible, I was afraid that if I went to the manager, it would start a whole thing. They would go back to, and I didn't have time for it enough to do that. I've had situations, for example, I don't know if this has ever happened to anyone. This happens to me more than once as well. As a joke, I'm saying what I'm saying now, but I've stolen an item from a store, right? Let's say you have a kid that was holding something or something like that. So that's clearly stealing. There's no way of getting around that, right? That's stealing 100%. So it's annoying because, I thought I did the automatic checkout at Target, and then I take all the bags and I put them in and I say, oh my God, there's something left on the bottom of the cart. Of course I have to report that and go back. But what if you have a case, I had this before as well, where I purchased something and I opened the item and somebody somehow put another item in that item as well. So I got two items for the price of one. So now here's an interesting case because it's Tos Akum and nobody knows about it. Where's the Kiddush Hashem? So I called the company and I said to the company, listen, I got this item. To be honest with you, this item wasn't more than $5. I don't have to halachically get in a car now and go back. I said, listen, the next time I'm going to be there, I don't know, could be in a week, a month from now, I don't know. Would you like to pick it up? Would you like me to send it FedEx, whatever? And they said no, and they paskin that it's mutter, and you can keep the item. That's okay. I think that in certain cases, a person has to look at the case and say, what's the right thing here? Am I causing more of a kiddush Hashem than a chilul Hashem? Because again, it's not violating halacha. As the Shulchan Aruch writes, "Bemakom sheyesh chilul Hashem, you must return the aveda." Again, hashavas aveda is a different case. Again, if the law of the land says you have to return something, that's fine. But if you don't, so then you don't. So I just want to end off with a few interesting questions, again, in no specific order, but that really prove that how careful we have to be. Moshe Feinstein has so many amazing tshuvas on this. He talks about a Baal tshuva who became from, and then he realizes that in his previous life he did some really bad things. Some of those bad things, we could admit that we might have done as well. He stole on his taxes a bit. I don't understand exactly the case, but he stole on a telephone bill. I don't know how he's able to scam them. So Rav Moshe writes, there's a chilul Hashem, there's a tremendous tshuva that you can do. You have to do tshuva for it. And then he discusses the technicalities of how a person would be able to do. You have to go ahead and pay back. Rav Vosner has a tshuva discussed before, the idea of, can a nice Jewish boy be an IRS worker? He He says, well, ultimately, the law of the land is a law, and therefore you should follow the law of the land. He happens to think that a Jewish boy should not be an IRS worker, right? Remember, Moshe Feinstein has a true, and Moshe says you should be an IRS worker, again, if that's what you want to do with your life as an accountant, because you have the ability to have rachmanas on Jewish people. So, for example, when I'm, you know, if you work for the IRS, they give you a stipulation of a certain amount you can give a person to negotiate a discount, right? They owe 100%, and you can say you only have to pay 80%. So maybe Avraham Rachmanis, he doesn't think that's so wrong. There's a sefer called the Mishmatei Yeshurun. So he says that passively the Ran would be correct, right? And there's a minhag, it's a crazy tshuva. There's a minhag in the world, I'm not even going to say what the name of the Rav is. There's a minhag in the world that everybody cheats on their taxes. And therefore it's mutter. Makes no sense. I don't know what he's talking about. I hope that's not the minhag of the world. I think that there is certain minhagim, and I mean this now. I gave the example of the babysitter. One could argue that there's no chil Hashem because nobody really declares babysitters, even though technically you should. It's kind of known that people don't do that. Okay, one wants to be lifnim b'shuras hadin. There's no reason not to do that. Rav Avdi Yosef has here in Yechav Adaz a beautiful tshuva where he talks about Eretz Yisrael. I kind of insinuated this. Is Eretz Yisrael different? So one could argue, the Chazon Ish argues this, and others argue that you don't have to pay taxes in Israel. Strange. Why? Because we own Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was given to all of us. But Rav Avdi Yosef says that there was a malchus that was created. There's a dina de malchus adina that's created. Why? Because we're getting benefit. For example, you know, our bread doesn't cost as much, right? Happens to be this Friday had the most interesting thing. Because of Corona, one of the Rami Levi, one of the local supermarkets, wanted to give back to the community. They had only Friday chicken for a shekel. One shekel for a chicken. Pretty crazy, right? They had one shekel for watermelon, one shekel for milk, one shekel for, I'm missing, I didn't buy the milk, I bought everything else but the milk. I obviously ran there on Friday to get my one shekel. There was one shekel for challah, but I didn't see it, but I bought something else, I forgot. Anyway, but there's laws in Israel that there are certain things that can only go to a certain level, and we benefit from that. I'm on the road. The road is paved because I'm paying taxes. So it seems to be a crazy shita to go ahead and say that. Now, it's true that Rav Sternbach, not surprisingly, the head of the Eidah Haridus, that's not big fans of Medina Yisrael, he writes in the Chuvos V'Hanagos that everyone has a deal with the government. It's an interesting shita. And I pointed out before I started this year that we have a minister on our block now, and we see the tremendous waste of money that the government uses. I'm not exaggerating in the hundreds of thousands of shekel by putting up the security booth and these lights and these cameras, and now she has a fancy car with a driver and all these things. So my friend, as a joke, said to me, wow, this really wants me to steal, you know, to steal on taxes a bit. Look at what we're paying for. There are 34 ministers now that are getting this type of treatment, millions and millions of shekel being wasted. So that's not for you to determine. Rav Sternbach thinks, yes, it's true. You know why? Because in Israel, everybody has a deal. There's always a way you can get out of it. I don't know if that's so true. Plenty of famous people who were in the government went to jail for tax evasion, and there's even a famous prime minister, a sitting prime minister, who's in a lot of trouble now because of presents and things that he took. So he's saying that that's... He says, no, people can always get out of it. There's always somebody you can talk to and so on and so forth. I don't know if it's different in other countries, but... Maybe it's partly true. I once had a situation where somebody said to me, I had an issue with my city taxes, something strange with the previous owner, and I didn't really owe the money the previous owner did when I bought my house, and there was a whole fight. And that somebody actually said to me, oh, I know a guy in the area. If you pay him X amount of money, he'll make it go away. I hear what Rav Sternbach is saying, but again, the chil Hashem that could be purported by doing something like this, I think totally outweighs it, and a person has to be machmer. Even Rav Yoshev was asked, in terms of taxes in Israel, he said, Dini de Malchus Adina, the Lord of the land is a law, and a person has to follow that. The famous Rav Nissen Karelitz, from Bnei Brak, so he says that he doesn't know if Dina de Malchus Adina applies in Eretz Yisrael, because of some of the things that we said about owning the so on and so forth, but he says, but you have to pay taxes, certain types of taxes, like Bituach Lumi, right? Because it allows you to have medical insurance. It allows you to go to Gan for almost free. It allows you paying your Arnon. It allows you to have cleaning of the streets. So it's crazy to say that. And not only that, you could be Oyvon Issa Daraisa because you're getting things from the government that you don't deserve. Rav Schechter famously says that a person who cheats on his taxes, even in America, is over stealing from Jews. Why? Because by me not paying, even though it's a small amount, I might add $1 to your taxes. Your taxes, that park that now is being built that's going to benefit me, even if it doesn't benefit me, it doesn't matter. So that's a tremendous stealing. And again, Chil Hashem can be avoided here. Just to end kind of with I'll try to end on a positive note, but a Chil Hashem note. Rav Moshe talks about Kenevas Das and a Chil Hashem when it comes to stealing the regions, that a person has to be careful. If he's overly careful, even though it's Bittul Torah, people say it's Bittul Torah, it can't be, that you got to learn these things. The government makes you learn secular studies. You have to do that. Rav Schechter tells a story about a guy in the Diamond District. So the Diamond District is very famous that everything's done there in cash, right? And this is a problem. I have a wonderful svarim in the back of me, the loss of money and so on and so forth. The art school safer, Rabbi Bodner safer, and they discuss about somebody who has a business that's all cash and carry. You go into a store and they say, pay me cash. You know, he's not paying taxes. Is it halachically allowed for a person to shop in such a store? So Rav Schechter tells a story about a guy in the Diamond District who, Baruch Hashem, does very well for himself, but according to the tax authority, he makes $65,000 a year. Right? He doesn't really. And what happened? He got in a little trouble. You know how he got in trouble? He got caught because he bid the highest amount when American Airlines went bankrupt to get them out of bankruptcy to buy American Airlines. Millions and millions of dollars. Where'd that money come from if he's $65,000 a year? So the government got him in trouble. There's a lot of these cases, I'm sorry to report, where you have these questions. And I think that what these camps did, these Shema camps, just as an example, there's many other examples, I think was an amazing, amazing thing because it really showed what should be done. And that you have to go lifnim mishur hashem, even though technically they might be able to get out of it, so on and so forth, it's not the right way. It's not going to get you very far. And I think that that's something to, you know, highly consider when these things happen. Again, as far as the government meals, I don't have such an issue with it. I think that that's going a little bit too far. I think that it's totally mutter. Everybody, I have to tell you, the superintendent of Bergenfield, of the school system, said specifically to my boss, Baruch Hashem, I didn't say Baruch Hashem. He says, thank God that you guys are finally paying tax. You pay taxes. You don't get any schooling. Finally, we're able to give back to you something. I don't think that that's called the Chil Hashem. We don't need the food. First of all, it helps people. Like in a lot of the laws that we have in Judaism, it helps other people not be embarrassed to pick up the food. Imagine if it was, you could pick it up, but only if you really need it. So then only, right, people would be embarrassed to pick it up. I don't think there's any problem with it at all. And especially there are people who are donating it for poor people. They're donating it to, right, that's an amazing thing. So I think that all in all, we have to be exceedingly careful, especially in Corona season, with all these little things, tax breaks. And I know a lot of people are talking to me about, oh, did you get your tax break from the government, your check? But what about if you live in Israel? And a lot of questions, right? You have to make sure that you're following halacha and that you're not passively just saying, I won't say anything and I'll get the money, right? Because Chil Hashem is on the highest level. And I once heard somebody say, oh, it's only in front of Jews, Chil Hashem. No. It's in front of everyone. That's what we're here on the earth for. And we have to be exceedingly careful not to cause any issues that would make people think that we are not the Or LaGoy and that we're not someone who's supposed to be on this higher level and being Mekadosh Shem Hashem. Any questions? Comments? Okay. Shkoyach.